welcome back to the fifth episode of Behind the Music, a feature podcast here at Radio Laurier, where I, your host, Abigail Heckbert, interview upcoming Canadian musicians and artists from across the country. In today's episode, I interview Tega from the band Postmodern Connection, an indie singer-songwriter group from Vancouver, BC. All of their socials and music will be linked below, so go check it out and enjoy this episode. Bye! Thank you for joining me on Behind the Music today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Tega from a band called Postmodern Connection. We're an indie band in Kelowna, BC. I am the frontman and, I guess, manager for PMC.
Awesome. So what kind of music do you guys make?
We make indie music, which is kind of a big umbrella term. So it's mainly inspired by lots of different influences. Usually just lots of jazz and bossa and some rock, things like that, and lots of R&B. Just honestly, anything you like, and of course, other indie artists too.
Awesome. When did you guys start writing or playing music?
I think everyone's always been involved musically in some way, kind of throughout their whole life. George, our lead guitarist, took piano lessons. So he was classically trained in piano, then he took like classic guitar lessons, and he had an old band. I was in a bunch of choirs. Two of our members are music teachers. So just stuff like that. But I think as a band, we actually came together. And George, the lead guitarist, and myself came together back in 2016 and played a bunch of just duo shows. And then 2017 decided to make a band. And that's kind of when we started bringing everyone in.
That's awesome. So what do you have any artists or musicians that influence the music you guys currently make?
I think there's a lot. It's kind of hard to say if there's any one that you will hear in our music. It kind of goes on a song by song basis and what we're listening to at the time. So right now we're listening to a lot of bossa, but that's just genre wise. But I could say Hyoku for sure, Sosei Neon, or is it Seso Neon? The Districts, a big early influence on us. Another band, King Cruel, I really like, and Yellow Days, I like a lot. And yeah. Guys like that.
And after hearing kind of everyone's background, did you guys like always know that music is something that you wanted to pursue as a career, like a lifelong thing?
I don't think that was a point where we decided that we were going to do this career wise. We just decided that back in university, which was a couple of years ago, that we wanted to be able to do it as seriously as possible while being in school and being able to work outside of school and, you know, doing any other thing that we wanted to do in life, at least formal career-wise, just more traditional-wise. If there's anything that interested us that way, we want to be able to do that while still being serious musicians.
For sure. So when did you guys first officially form Postmodern Connection?
I guess the end of 2017. That's kind of when we got all the members and then played our first full show. And then 2018, we played a ton of shows, and that's kind of when we actually had our big debuted in the scene and played a bunch of shows in actual pubs and actual venues. Before that, we were just playing, I guess, just shows that friends had asked us to play. So 2018 was kind of when we got out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's nice to hear that you guys have been involved in performing pre-COVID. Of course, this crappy time for all of us, but yeah. It's nice to hear that you got to do that.
Yeah, it's been good. We got to play a couple of shows during COVID, just because in BC it's a bit better, and just online shows and things like that too.
Yeah, that's great. Do you guys have a creative process when you're writing a song, or like how do you guys go about doing that? Because I know there's multiple of you and you all have your own unique talents and sounds, so what's that like for you?
George and I usually start the songwriting process, and now we kind of come with the inspiration and build a skeleton of the song, and then it's a going back and forth between myself and him, or I just make something and I send it to him, and then we show it to the rest of the band, and then they kind of take it from there or redo, you know, put in a good drum beat and a good bass line and some violin and stuff. So we kind of come with the idea and then they finish the idea.
That's awesome. So your most recent single is called Drowning. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to write that and what that song is about?
So Drowning, I wrote that one for the most part. And then we wrote it, I think, back in 2019 or 18. That song was really just inspired because I was listening to a lot of doo-wop style songs. So the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I wanted to make something like that. So I went into that knowing that I wanted to have that sort of backbeat. And I just picked a bunch of chords that I liked. And that's how the skeleton of the song started. And then slowly I put lyrics over that. And then I showed it to the band. And then George and Mitch came up with the cool ending and all that stuff. But that was kind of the thought process behind that song. And it just kind of came out that the way it was. It wasn't really a, what's the word now? I wasn't really, you know, trying to say anything about COVID or 2020 or anything like that in general. It just so happened that it came out in 2020.
Yeah, I have to admit that is my personal favorite out of all the songs you guys have put out. I just, it's on my Spotify and I always am like, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just really, I like it. Your sound is very unique, I find. It separates from everything else that I listen to. And I always know when it's you guys playing through my headphones.
Nice. That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so much.
No problem. So how did COVID, I mean, you've mentioned a couple times, this inescapable crappy time for us, but how did COVID affect you guys as a band? Did it shift how you work together, or did it open up like creative paths for you guys to work together and create new stuff?
It wasn't the worst for us because, like I said, we're all pretty busy outside of band stuff. So we just kind of got to sit back, and we had to do a lot of admin stuff last year anyway, so we just were able to take the time out to do all of that. And we still got to be able to practice because, I mean, technically we are legally a business, so we could, you know, say that we could practice all in one space and just wear a mask. Or when it was the thick of things, we just practiced in a much bigger building, which was nice. But I think it really just gave us a chance to slow down and implement a lot of our plans, which was nice. We're never big on touring. We haven't been on a tour yet, and especially 2019 2020, we decided to ease back on shows anyways.
So since you guys have kind of taken like the past year off to do, as you mentioned, admin stuff and practice and focus on yourselves, do you guys have any projects coming up or any like potentially EP album? Is there anything like that potentially coming out soon?
We have an EP coming out in the fall. We just wrapped that up and got a couple of grants, which is nice, and just shot our video. So we are in the last process, and we'll be making some announcements pretty soon.
That's awesome.
We have our first EP coming out.
That's really awesome. That sounds good. I'm sure it will sound amazing. And you mentioned music videos. What was it like to record the Drowning music video? Because the visuals in that were really stunning. And your coordinating outfits were super adorable.
Thank you. It was interesting. So that was kind of all done by Tegan McGinnis. It was really his idea. He'd been wanting to work with us for a while. And so when we had that song, he'd reach out and I was like, "Here, we've got the song coming up." And he's like, "This is the perfect song." So he kind of had an idea that he wanted to go with. And, you know, that's what we saw. So it was interesting because it was our first time also doing a shoot like that. It was, I think, almost a 12-hour day. We were there from 12 to 1 a.m. just setting up, shooting, having outfits, getting the actors in makeup, which was our first time doing anything with that much production. So it was fun. It was exhausting, but I think it was also great to have it turn out the way it did.
Yeah, it was a whole experience. So that's really cool.
We're usually super low budget, but for that one, we actually ran a Kickstarter for it, and we're able to get a $1,500.
Of course, yeah. You mentioned that you guys were able to perform pre-COVID. What was that like? Did you guys have like a favorite venue or a favorite time or place to perform? And are you excited to get back out?
Excited to get back out for sure. Our favorite place, I guess you could say, is Redbird Brewery, because they're really nice to us and they let me do whatever I want on stage as far as stage design goes. So it's nice because then I can rent out a bunch of things and actually set up the space, because I like that when we do it you know, keep it memorable, even if no one remembers the music, at least they remember, oh, that was a cool show because they had it set up this way. So I like Redbird a lot. There's other cool places in town. Like, I think Vienna is a pretty cool spot to play, and every year they have a festival, which is pretty sick.
That's cool. Would you guys hope to go on tour anytime soon, or are you just focused on kind of creating more music and maybe doing more local performances?
I think we are planning to go on tour probably next year. We've just kind of been waiting until we had a full project, and then we've got to plan it because we're all working full-time outside of the band stuff, so it's a lot to plan. We got to plan our time off and things like that, but yeah, we would like to go on tour and head out of BC.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure you have a lot of fans that would like to see you. I'm sure not just in Canada, but yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, this is kind of just more of an adventurous question. If you could tour or open for any band or artist or musician, who would you want to do that with and why?
We definitely want to tour in Brazil because Brazil is awesome. And Europe too, I would like to tour in Europe. And honestly, like South Asia and Southeast Asia really have really strong indie scenes. Really appreciate indie music, so I think it'd be cool to be there. And like, yeah, you got really sick artists coming down to Southeast Asia, so I wouldn't mind touring. Who would I open? Definitely Hyoku would be crazy. I'd lose my mind if we could open for Hyoku, and the Districts would be awesome too.
Yeah, it's nice to hear a lot of diverse sounds coming out of course, every different country. Just to wrap up, is there any advice you would like to give to your fans or the people listening about pursuing their dreams?
Advice? Don't know if I'm in a position to advise anyone, but I think if you're going to do something, my mom always said, if you're going to do something, do it well. So if you're going to do something, just throw everything into it, because, I mean, the worst that's going to happen is that, you know, you did it and then it didn't work. And that's about it. You know, if you lose money, you can always make money back. If you lose time, you have the rest of your life. So if you're going to do it to the best that you can.
That's awesome. That's great advice. So I want to thank you again for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having us.